We're continuing our series through the book of Revelation. There was a particular fellow who wasn't so good with the drink. He happened to be going out of the sobering up tank at the police station down the street, and he happened to go by a church one morning as he was being let out, and sat in the back pew, thought, well, maybe a little bit of God would help him after a whole lot of alcohol. And so great that he heard the sermon, and as the sermon was going along, the pastor in the church there was quite annoyed, because this guy that was trying to sober up, he fell asleep, and there was some snoring, and it just wasn't a good situation. So he thought to himself, well, kind of near the end of the sermon, I'm going to ask all those who want to go to heaven, please stand up. So he kind of turned his sermon into that direction, and so, you know, everybody stood up, but of course this half asleep, or sobering up, drunk person stayed seated. He was still quite annoyed. So then preached a little longer, and then he got really, really loud, kind of, I don't know, maybe kind of cost a little bit, and he said, if anyone wants to find a place in hell, please stand up. And this commotion really got this half sobering up guy up, and he kind of, oh, okay. And he took a look at everyone else seated, and he looked at the pastor, and he said, I don't know what we're voting on here, Pastor, but it seems like you and I are the only ones standing for it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for a chance to be in, together. Even though we are scattered, we are together, and we are so glad that we can do that. And thank you again for technology. Thank you again, once again, for your word, for the songs of hope that we sang this morning. We are so grateful for your presence with us and your presence with us throughout this time of pandemic, and that you have given us so much hope. Lord Jesus, may you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to hear what you have to say, that the message that you spoke, that ancient testimony, would have a present trajectory in our lives. The ancient message to Sardis would be a message to Claire's home as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we get to Sardis, I want to just review a little bit about Thyatira. Thyatira, we talked about discernment, diligence, and deliverance. Discernment, diligence, and deliverance. Three ways to respond. Discernment, we have to be very quick and discerning in these days as to what we are listening to. And the church in Thyatira was not so quick, and they allowed some false doctrines to come in. And a woman named Jezebel creeped in there. We talked a little bit about the relationship of Jezebel to that of Jezebel and Ahab in the Old Testament. We need to be diligent. And verse 25 of chapter 2 said that we need to hold on. Jesus said, hold on to what you have until I come. Hold on. Be diligent. That's a good message for us today in the pandemic times that we are in. Hold on to what you have until I come. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Finally, deliverance. There's a promise here of deliverance to Thyatira, that Jesus comes as the morning star and delivers them. So now we have Sardis. And Sardis is kind of like that guy I mentioned in the story at the beginning. He kind of gets a little dozy, and he's a little drunk, and although there's nothing in there, I'm not misinterpreting the scripture here, there's no drunkenness in the Sardis church, but he was definitely dozy, and the Sardis church is dozy, so it's a dozy church. A little history of Sardis for us today. It was a fortified city, just picture it in your mind. Maybe some of you have taken trips to Israel and seen this, or trips to Turkey, it's up in that area, modern Turkey. It was a fortified city of about 100,000 people, placed 1,500 feet up on a hill, just above the Valley of Hermas. Sardis was actually conquered twice. Quite an interesting fact, even though it was really high up on a hill. It was conquered twice, first in 546 BC by Cyrus the Persian, And in 218 BC by Antioch III, or Antiochus III in 218 BC. So we come upon Sardis. Sardis is a church that is dozing. So I want us to read a little bit about it. It says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The church in Sardis had become comfortable. They had a reputation of being alive, but were dead. A lady by the name of Adele Gabory, true story, was missing for several years. And was missing for a while, ended up being several years. Concerned neighbors informed the police, but her brother said, well, I'm pretty sure that she got moved into a nursing home some time ago. Satisfied with that information, the neighbors began watching her property. They noticed her mail was piling up high, so they had the mail stopped. A next-door neighbor started paying attention and mowing her lawn. Later, water started spilling out her front door, and so they had the utilities cut off. What no one guessed was that while they are trying to help, Mrs. Gabory was actually inside her house. When the police finally investigated, they found her body. It was reported she had died of natural causes 4 years earlier. So the respectable external appearance of Mrs. Gabory's house looked like she was living at home. Looked like she was, you know, for a while maybe it was a little bit disheveled, but things got looked after. Sounds a bit like the church that we're talking about here. It looked good on the outside, but then inside there was death. A good reputation. Interesting, another point of fact in regards to pagan worship at that time in Sardis was the patron god of Sardis was Cybele, an Asian mother goddess who was believed to have power to restore life to the dead. So when Jesus would have spoken this letter, and the people and the believers in Sardis, which actually was a church in the first century, would have heard that, I'm sure many of their minds would have gone to Cybele, the goddess, the mother goddess, who could restore life from the dead. So there's a message, there's a dual message for this church and for us today. What are we looking like on the outside? And was it literal death? Well, possibly. But as we all know, the wages of sin is what? Death. And so the church in Sardis, they're not reprimanded for any false doctrines. They're not reprimanded for anything that's necessarily wrong teaching. But I think that there's a word that can really connect with our church and the church in North America today at times, and with all of us as individual believers. And that's the word apathy. We can really become apathetic at times and can, in a way, go into a spiritual slumber that is really hard sometimes to get out of. And we need to be aware of where we're at in regards to our spiritual health. Spiritual health of this church was, it's a dozy church. They had some really good things happen in the past, but they were dwelling on the past instead of the present. Leaning on their reputation instead of an authentic relationship with Jesus. Jesus does not come against this church for believing any false teachings like he has in previous church letters, like what I've just mentioned. But he asked them to strengthen what remains. There's some strength in this church, spiritual strength that's there, and we read about that in verse 4, that there are a few people that haven't soiled their clothes. And we are able to see that there's still potential there. Many in our church today get caught up in this mentality at times. Maybe living in the afterglow of some great past event. And it's great to learn of these things, of what God has done in the past, but we need to be aware that we don't stay there. I know I've read some great stories about the great revivals in the Hebrides. I've read of great revivals all around the world, even in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, of all places, in 1972. Wonderful things. God worked and moved. But sometimes we can stay there and try to manipulate God to do the exact same thing again. And God doesn't often do that. We have to be aware that we don't stay in our past victories, but that we look for where God's at work now and strengthen what remains in us, because sometimes we can just like to coast. And you know, folks, right now, it's been a good wake-up call for the church. This whole time of COVID, I think we've put the brakes on basically every single program except for Sunday morning. There's been, some good Zoom small groups and everything else like that. But it's been a good time to reflect and to think about. And as Pat said earlier, but we're coming to a place where things are opening up a little bit more. And we need to be aware of the things we've learned and the things God wants to teach us and the new ways that He may be leading us as a church. And maybe this has been a wake-up call, much like this letter says to the church in Sardis, to the church here in Clare's home, to the church in the world, to say we need to be doing things differently. We need to not lean on our laurels and think of the past or just to be satisfied with the status quo, but to work, move forward, to press on to the things that God has for us and press into His presence with us. And not just to lean on, as Proverbs says, our own understanding or our past understanding, as good as that may have been. John MacArthur tells this story. There once was an old church in England. A sign on the front of the church building read, "We preach Christ crucified." After a time, ivy grew up and obscured the last word, and it read, "We preach Christ." Then ivy grew a little bit more, and the motto read, "We preach." Now ivy grew a little bit more, and then the church closed. Let that not be our church. We preach Christ crucified. And we're not ashamed to say so. That we will not fall asleep, we will not back down, we will not let anything distract us from the message of the gospel that is so still relevant to the 21st century church, just as it was to those in the first century church in Sardis. MacArthur ends with this poem from an anonymous source. "O Lord, return to me your power that once by grace I knew. Forgive the sin that grieved your heart, and help me to be true." Help us to be true. Help us to strengthen, O Holy Spirit, what is left. So how do we wake up? What is keeping us from falling asleep? Or how do we keep from falling asleep? One, by continuing to submit to God's sovereignty. That is one thing through this whole pandemic I've heard myself say over and over and over and over again, and I'll keep saying it. This pandemic never took God by surprise. It never did. God has been in control from beginning to end, and He's been in control from time and eternity, and He will continue to be in control. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His sovereignty, submit to it. Submit to who He wants you and us to be. And it goes back to, again, as I mentioned the last number of weeks, every single time that there's a letter and there's a description of Christ given to each of these churches in each of these letters, and they have a specific encouragement, specific reminder of who Christ is to this church. It says, "These are the words of Him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." That's seven, of course, as many of you know, is the number of completeness in the Scriptures. And that Jesus holds these churches just as He holds our church in the palm of His hand. He's held our church during the last 12 weeks as He's held this church the last 40, 50 years of its existence here in Clare's home. and as he has the church in the world, continue to submit to God's sovereignty. And we will shine like stars. Stars is another biblical metaphor for churches, for people. We read these words from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now, how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly to the word of life. You will shine like stars. A very similar message that Jesus is speaking to this church here in Sardis, and is speaking to us today, that we will shine like stars as we... And you know, it's easy. I heard a story just the other night of people, how they're reacting to some of the newer stars that are out there. And some, many are, you know, just taking it all in stride, and others are grumbling and arguing. Oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, this is stupid. Oh, this plexiglass. Oh. Well, may we as Christians not be the first ones to argue. May we as Christians not be the first ones to raise a stink about these things. But may we be the ones who walk out in full submission to the Holy Spirit and the protection that he offers, but also in full submission and respect to the restrictions, as we've tried to do over these last 12 weeks, so that we will shine out like stars in the universe. So secondly, first, how do we keep from falling asleep? Submitting to God's sovereignty. Secondly, by resting in Christ despite the pressure from the world. There's a lot of pressure. And there's so many confusing messages, even more so in the last 12 weeks than there has been before. We need to rest in Christ. And he says we need to wake up. We need to wake up from spiritual slumber, but rest in our spirit and our mind in Christ. And allow the leading of the Holy Spirit to continue to open us up to where he wants to lead us spiritually. May we not be like those five virgins that Jesus talks about in Matthew 25. There are ten, but five of them were ready, five of them were not. If anything has come out of this pandemic, it is a reminder that, yes, Jesus' return is real, and we see that in the book of Revelation, that it is a reminder that Jesus is coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. May we be ready. May our lamps be trimmed and our oil be at its right amount. And that's the sensitivity, that's the resting, that's the pressing into the presence of Jesus Christ. And being at spiritual rest is being content. Paul talks about this in Philippians 4. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. Spiritual rest is not standing still, but moving forward in oneness of focus in Christ, despite what might be going on around us. Roger Kipling put it well when he said, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or be lied about but don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise, then you will be a man, my son. I'm not sure if Roger Kipling was a Christian or not, but he was on to something there. That if we keep our head, if we allow people to speak bad about us, even though we do need to stand up for ourselves at times, yes, but I think we need to be pressing in and not allowing just the world to manipulate, the world to change who we are. Jesus here, in his message to the church at Sardis, did not want the church to lose hope. But he says some strong words here too. He says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard and obey it and repent. But, be careful when there's a but in Scripture. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what time I will come to you. So what did Jesus mean when he said he would come like a thief? Well, possibly referring back to the holding of the stars, that title that he had. Jesus was the sovereign one over the church of Sardis. He was their light. If they did not repent, did Jesus threaten to take away their lampstand? Did he come as a thief to do that? Likely not, but he wanted to take away their false sense of security. They're leaning on their own reputation rather than on being led by the Spirit. Paul speaks of this in light of the day of the Lord, Christ's second coming. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. We as Christians should not be surprised by Christ's coming. And we need to be aware that if we continue to give in to apathy, that, yeah, it will take us by surprise because we will not be ready. Our lamps will not be trimmed and our oil will not be at the right level. We will be taken like a thief. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, do not fear going forward slowly, fear only to stand still. Do not fear going forward slowly, fear only to stand still. We need to be careful that we as a church don't stand still. We can go forward slowly, and it does take a long time sometimes to see change. And some of us, I know there's been times where I felt it this last 12 weeks that the change is just coming too fast for me. And there's just every day there's something new and a new angle and you have to do this and it's really hard. And that's a little too fast sometimes. But we need to not fear moving forward slowly, and God is taking us in new directions. He's waking us up. He's waking us up. So may we not be taken like a thief. There's a promise here. Verse 4, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. But when we put our faith and trust in Christ, He is the one who makes us pure. He makes us worthy. He gives us the strength and the hope to continue on. Another interesting fact coming out of the history of the Church of Sardis. People in Sardis, pagan worship in Sardis, wore white robes to celebrate ancient gods and goddesses in worship. And if they came into this goddess worship with soiled garments, they were not accepted. They were not accepted. And their names actually were taken from the city register, and they were no longer actually even considered citizens of Sardis if they went to one of these pagan goddess worship times with soiled clothes and a soiled white garment. This is a significant message for the church then and now. This is significant when it comes to the message Jesus is speaking to the church. Jesus is the one who makes them white. Jesus is the one who makes us white. He is the one who makes us worthy. When we walk with Jesus, we are dressed in white. And another time when the ancients dressed in white was when there's a victory. When there's a military victory, many dressed in white and there's a huge parade. White signifies not only purity, but victory. Jesus conquered over sin. Thank you, Jesus. White robes were also worn by those being baptized, even up until our modern day. And that signifies, of course, Jesus' death and resurrection when we go through the waters of baptism. Purity and holiness is what Jesus purchased for us and for them. And ultimately, in wearing white, we acknowledge Jesus' victory over death. Theologian Tom Wright states that sin drags us into the dirt, drags us to death, drags us and makes us dirty. It drags us down. But Jesus lifts us up. He makes us worthy. Another promise as we come to the close of this letter. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. What a powerful thought. This concept of the book of life, I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 and 32. It talks about Moses interceding for the children of Israel. And if they were not to repent, that his name would be blotted out of God's book of life. As I mentioned before, that those who came to goddess worship, if they were soiled in any way, they would be knocked out of, or their names would be removed from the book of registration of the citizenship book. They would be erased. It's interesting. About 5 years ago, I was booking a lovely romantic dinner for my wife and I. And I booked it online. It was one of the first times I did that. And usually I phoned ahead and did a reservation. I booked it online in a chain restaurant, and this chain restaurant had many multiple locations. Little did I know that I had booked and reserved a spot at a restaurant in Saskatoon rather than in Regina. And so I found out, thankfully, in time to still woo my lovely wife, Sherry, and take her out for Valentine's dinner. But I got an email response that you often get, those automatic emails that come. And we'll be pleased to host you at our Saskatoon location. Never said anything about that on the website, but maybe I was a little blind. I don't know. Finally, we're not driving all the way to Saskatoon. So I got to the right restaurant and actually phoned, did it the old-fashioned way, and got there, and me and my wife had a wonderful meal. And the rest, they say, is history. It's interesting. Isn't it wonderful that our names are reserved in the Lamb's Book of Life? When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, and it's not some other place, it's not some other book, you don't have to worry about registering online in some place or reserved somewhere place in line. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we overcome, when we press into the power and let the power of the Holy Spirit work through us, we will be dressed in white. We will have the victory. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are a redeemed people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, he says these promises. And will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Wow! Wow! Can you imagine that? I don't know if I've ever been acknowledged by someone, really famous. Maybe you have. You've had your name in lights somewhere, or you've got your name on TV or something like that. But to be acknowledged before God, his name, our names will be acknowledged before our Father in heaven. Wow, that's exciting. Can you imagine that day? Just think about it. It's so humbling, I want to weep. Hearing Jesus Christ say my name. Say your name. Think about it for just a moment. Doesn't that make you want to overcome? To press in even further? To wake up? Wake up, church. There's a day coming. Jesus is going to call out your name. Be ready. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Many of you know the name happened, 20 years ago. You know the name Cassie Bernal. Columbine, Colorado. Shooter walked into the classroom of that high school in Columbine and said, basically these words. Are you a Christian? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus? And Cassie said yes. And a bullet took her life. Are we willing to bear that name? We may never face what Cassie faced. But to think of that day, as we overcome daily, that our Father will say our name before all of heaven. Wow. So may we hear what the Spirit says. This is a reminder. If the Bible repeats it, I get to repeat it too. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you listening, church? Are we ready to wake up? Ready to realize what God has in store for us, the potential that's there? Do you know that the Holy Spirit from the beginning of creation brings order out of chaos, brings life from death? Much better than any goddess that any has been worshipped down through the years. Life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these promises. Help us, Lord, if there's an area where we're spiritually weary, where we've just been leaning on our laurels and saying, oh, isn't the past so wonderful? Oh, that revival of 1955. Oh, Lord Jesus, may there be revival in 2020 in Clairsville. And may it reverberate all over Southern Alberta and our nation for Christ's sake and for a world that so desperately needs and is starting to wake up. Help us that awakening begin with us. In Jesus' name, amen. To him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.